If you have your Bibles with you today, we are in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This would be a familiar passage for us as Leah has lived that out for us today, and also as we read it together now. And so I invite you to listen. If you have your Bibles, to pull the Bibles out to Luke chapter 5. There is a pew Bible in front of you. It's the same version and the pew Bible that I'm reading as well. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water." You hear that, friends? Deep water. "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night, but we haven't caught anything. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When he had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had just taken. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, as we come together in prayer this morning, after reading this scripture and before the sermon is preached, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. We pray that you do that through this word, through the songs, through the anthems, through the prayers. And Lord, that as we now think about the words that Luke records in his gospel, we might ask ourselves, what do they have to do with me? Lord, I pray for this preacher this morning. Would you give us your glory? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know that Susie and I spent a week down there at Gulf Shores. We like to go to Gulf Shores, the area. Fort Morgan is where we usually stay. I'd like to thank Tom Frays, who is one of our retired pastors here, for preaching for us. Tom's been away, as you know, doing an interim work at Batesville. Our timing was good for him to be back. I also want to thank our staff and our volunteers because whether I'm here or not, this place runs smoothly, right? Y'all don't need me. But on last Friday morning, our last morning on the beach, Susie and I were sitting in our beach chairs. You know how that is? The waves, this is before the storm that went through there, by the way. The waves were rolling in and rolling out. It is peaceful. There's something about that ebb and flow of the waves. It just feeds my soul. I was looking for a little inspiration for today, for a sermon for today. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? I'd like to tell you that I'm one of those preachers that plan sermons out months at a time. Sermon series topped on sermon series. Musicians like that stuff. I'm not that kind of preacher. So I was looking for a little inspiration with the waves coming in and coming out. And it came to me, this idea, how about a sermon series about things that happen on the Sea of Galilee? Does that sound good? Yeah, I thought that sounded pretty good. I didn't have the scriptures picked out, but I had the title of the series selected in my mind and in my heart, which is half the battle, really. And I'm going to call it Tales by the Sea. How does that sound? So So I was looking out at the ocean, and I thought, I live in the Twin Lakes area. They've got Bull Shoals on one side of me, and I have Lake North Fork on the other side of me, and the White River in between us. I mean, we're all about water around here, right? So the next four Sundays, including today, we're going to be looking at stories that happened on the Sea of Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee. Let me give you a little history here. The Sea of Galilee, sometimes it's called the Sea of Tiberias. Luke this morning calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. By the way, it's all the same body of water. 70% of the ministry of Jesus Christ was in or around the Sea of Galilee. He calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He asked Peter to walk towards him on the water on the Sea of Galilee. He taught from the shores of the Sea of Galilee. There are towns that surrounded the Sea of Galilee, towns like Capernaum, Bethsaida, Cana, Magdala, and Nazareth was just 20 miles away. So it would be like us going to Cotter, or us going to Lake Norfolk, or us going to Bull Shoals. It was about 20 miles away, and Jesus was around that body of water a lot. It is 33 miles in circumference, 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, at its deepest, 141 feet deep. Crossing from one side to the other would have taken anywhere between 2 and 3 hours. There were no outboard motors. There were only sails and oars, and that's how it was done. It's fed by an underground spring and part of the River Jordan. It sits 680 feet below sea level, which makes it the lowest freshwater lake in the world. Now, if you've ever been there, you know that there are mountains that surround it, and so a storm quickly would be upon fishermen very quickly. So we're going to look at four stories that happened on the Sea of Galilee or on the shoreline over these next four Sundays. Our first comes from Luke's Gospel, and it happens on the Sea of Galilee, or as he calls it, the Lake of Gennesaret. Listen to what this story has. It has the sting of disappointment and the adrenaline of success. Remember it with me. Peter and James and John were all washing their nets after a bad night of fishing. Has that ever happened to you? A bad night of fishing. Jesus walks up. He borrows one of their boats, the one that belonged to Simon. He used it as a floating pulpit. Boy, that'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it? I mean, preaching on the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And when he's finished with his sermon, he turns to Simon Peter and he says, "Put out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch." Can you just imagine the look on Simon's face? Don't you know Simon was thinking, Jesus, aren't you a carpenter? What do you know about fishing? You don't know that the best time to fish is at night, and you don't know that the best place to fish on these waters is in the shallow water, but because you say so, we'll do it. He's not excited. Master, we've worked hard all night. All night, we've caught nothing, but because you say so, we'll let down our nets for the catch. You know the story, right? We read it together. What happens? They put out into the deep waters, and there are so many fish that their nets are beginning to tear and they're beginning to break. And so they call over help from their fishing partners, James and John. And I want to tell you, these guys, this is not a hobby. Are y'all with me? This is their living. And they have a fortune flipping and flopping at their feet. We're talking about a retirement house here, right? Wow. Now, I've almost always used this story to say, whatever net that you have, whatever fortune of fish that is floating at your feet, drop all that and follow Jesus. That's a good sermon, right? But today, I want to ask a different question. It's this question. Is Jesus calling you into deeper waters of discipleship? What are the signals? What are the signs? Are there nudges that you are feeling today that say maybe God is going to help you in a growing season, in a deeper time? What are those nudges? Well, one of those nudges might be disappointment, right? Master, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. That's disappointment, is it not? Well, sure it is. It's a problem if that's your living and you don't catch anything, right? Maybe we put it this way. I've been faithful all my life. I've followed Jesus every day of my life. And yet sometimes things go bad. Sometimes things go wrong. And you go, come on, Jesus, right? We have hopes and dreams and expectations. And there's a struggle sometimes between quitting and carrying on in our discipleship. Amen? Are y'all out there? I haven't preached in 2 weeks. I just want to make sure. Right? I experienced that. I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt. Right before I came to this church, I was dealing with some disappointment. My mom had recently died. I was changing churches. I had a little time between the two churches that I was serving at the time, and you know what I did? I delved into deeper waters. I started reading the scriptures a little more faithfully. I want to tell you that I dialed Jesus up in the morning. I said, good morning, Jesus. And by the end of the day, I said, good night. My whole day was a prayer. And all I can say is that God was right beside me. So sometimes there's a nudge of disappointment that puts us into deeper waters. Sometimes the nudge is something that we might call a desire. I had a church member reach out to me while we were gone and says, don't answer this email till you get back. Well, you know how that is, right? And he says, I'm looking for a way to read the Bible all the way through. Do you have any suggestions? Well, are y'all listening? My first suggestion is don't start in Genesis and end up in Revelation. You will not make it. You will get to Lamentations and you will quit. So find a good plan for reading the Bible. But her desire was a spiritual desire, not just to say, I've done that, but to say, I want to know more about the God of the Old Testament and I want to know more about Jesus Christ, right? I've said to you this several times and I'll say it today. I desire deeply for us to delve deeper in our discipleship. I think we need to have more than 2 Sunday morning Sunday school classes. Are y'all listening? Yes? Yeah. I want us to not just hear the preacher this morning and nod your heads and say, yeah, John, you're right. Yeah, I want us to do something about it. I want us, the kids are about to go back to school, right? In a few weeks. How about we go back to school too? How about we get involved in a Sunday school class or a Bible study or a small group? And if you'd like to start one, we'll resource you. We'll help you with that. We're going to talk about that at our staff retreat this Tuesday at the Parsonage. I'm teaching on Sunday night. Come on. Come on. I won't scare you like I did last year. Last year I said, hey, come and join our Bible study. It's only 30 weeks long. We're going to do shorter ones this year, right? So there is the nudge of disappointment. And there's the nudge of desire. There's one more thing I'd like to point out about this scripture. There's a call. Would you consider your call? Now, when I say this morning, I'm not saying about my call. I'm not saying, hey, God is calling you to be a pastor. Though, I do want you to know that I pray for that from this congregation, for someone to leave our hallowed halls and to go into ministry. You know what? Pastors don't come from clergy land. We don't come from clergy land. We are born out of churches and we are taught in churches and we answer a call to ministry, right? Listen to what Jesus says. Don't be afraid, Jesus says to Simon. From now on, you're going to be catching people. So when they docked their boats and came home, and they put their nets down, and they followed Jesus. Listen, friends, we all have a calling. Amen? It may not be to ministry. It may not be as a pastor. For instance, I heard of this woman who went to her pastor and said, I want to know what God's made me good at. And so he suggested, let's take one of those spiritual gifts inventory. You've heard of that, right? You take that and it tells you what you're good at. And it turns out she was great at hospitality. And so she started a hospitality ministry in her church. And then she opened the bed and breakfast because she was really good at hospitality. And so she loved doing that. There was a preschool teacher. Are any of you have ever been a preschool teacher? I'm married to one. It is a calling, right? Any teaching is a calling. And so the father came in one day to pick up his three-year-old daughter, and he said, I want to thank you for teaching my daughter how to pray. Before we can eat a meal, we have to pray. And you have taught her how to do that. And the other morning, she says, Daddy, when are we going to start going to a church? So now I'm looking for a church. Thank you for doing that. You see, the calling of that teacher was to teach children how to pray. Are y'all with me? There was a man who was on a flight, and he got on the airplane, and the plane pulled back from the gate and had to be on the tarmac for a long period of time. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, it's frustrating, right? People were angry, and they were frustrated, and they were ready to get going, and they couldn't get going. And there was a flight attendant who was gracious for every complaint, for everything, trying to make everyone feel comfortable. And when the plane finally got up in the air, this man asked the flight attendant to come over, and he said, I'm going to write a letter to the airline to tell them about you, how good you are, how great you are. She says, well, that's fine, but I don't work for the airline. He says, what? You don't work for the airline? She says, no, I'm employed by the airline, but I work for Jesus Christ. She said, but you could tell him. Somewhere out there on the Sea of Galilee, in deep waters, fishermen became disciples. They spent time with Jesus day and night for 3 years. One of those disciples' name was Simon. He became Peter. Jesus used his boat. He challenged him to throw his nets into deeper water, and Simon Peter was never the same. He became a leader of the disciples, right? He sometimes understood Jesus. Often he misunderstood Jesus. And on the night before Jesus was crucified, he denied Jesus. But then he was redeemed. And I'll tell you more about that in sermon number 4. Jesus used Peter. Peter preached the gospel, and people were changed. Are y'all with me? And those people who were changed told others about Jesus, and their lives were changed. And so it went. Family after family, story after story, generation after generation. And somebody told somebody who told me about Jesus. And this morning I'm telling you about Jesus. And the call is the same. The challenge is the same. Jesus says, put out your nets into deeper waters. Let's grow. Amen.